Hi, I'm Eric Dahma, pastor at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and I'm in studio along with Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, Bob DeWay. We both want to welcome you here to Critical Issues Commentary Radio, where we dig into the great doctrines of the faith revealed verse by verse through the scriptures, and we teach you how to contend for the faith once for all, handed down to the saints. Well, Bob, it's great to be with you here in studio. As I say, the only studio with walleye on the wall, as far as I know.
Well, who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Somebody may have a big trout on their wall.
Right, right. That's right. Well, now I know we had left off in verse 24. We had finished that up last time where we talked about the filling up of Christ's afflictions. And you had shown us that this filling up wasn't some lacking in Christ's atoning work, but instead our being joined to him and basically us suffering because we belong to Christ. And there's a total amount of suffering that God would allow until he intervenes and does a reversal. Well, now, in verse 25, Paul goes on to say, he says, of this church, that's who he suffered on behalf of, he says, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that, here's the purpose, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. Wow.
Now, yeah.
Bob, you know, when it's...
What version was that?
That was the New American, or I'm sorry, New American Standard Bible.
Let me read the NET.
Yeah, thank
which
you.
Is the one I settled on just after my Greek study.
Right.
It says, in the NET, I became a servant of the church according to the stewardship from God given to me for you in order to complete the Word of God.
Wow.
Now, why I chose NET was that it made that term complete stand out.
Yeah, I like that.
Because in verse 24, we talked about that one difficult word.
Yeah,
to
for
fill
filling up,
up,
right.
Or to complete. Now, it had a couple of prefixes.
Right.
Now, here we have that same word, only without prefixes.
Okay.
Plerao.
Right.
To fill or complete. So I think because the root's the same, there's a certain idea that gets carried along into verse 25.
Right, great point.
Okay, so I chose a translation that brought that out. The term servant, the term stewardship, and complete.
Now, Bob, with that idea of filling up or making complete, let me just throw this out there so you can add it into the discussion. I know there may be an issue with the Colossians themselves with this idea of filling up. Or this idea of
the fullness.
Yeah, the fullness.
Yeah, pleroma would be the noun form of it.
Right. Now, is this a way for Paul to show those at Colossae that true fullness isn't in their ascetic practices or their false religions, but rather it's found through the preaching of the gospel, which he's engaged in?
Do you think I think you're right, because when we get into chapter 2, we'll see a lot of these things that are going on.
Okay.
Terms that the false teachers were using.
Gotcha.
And there's a lot of debate about pleroma, fullness, because it comes up in Ephesians as well.
Right, right.
And the debate is over, okay, what was the pagan version of it?
Yeah, right.
And so there's a lot of discussion. What was that?
Yeah.
But here's what we know for sure. The Christian version is Christ.
Amen.
And fullness is found in Christ.
Amen.
In a lot of ways, Ephesians and Colossians are to be studied together because both of those churches were in Asia Minor.
Yeah, well said.
So the background would be similar religious ideas.
Yeah, amen.
And they're concerned about the stoichia or the principalities and powers, as they're called in Ephesians.
Right.
And people who claim to have higher status, who've achieved fullness.
Wow.
And so on. So Paul is saying, no, the fullness is found in Christ.
Amen.
And to fill up is done through gospel preaching.
Wow.
And suffering that attends gospel preaching.
Wow, very good. Yeah, boy, that's really good, Bob. Great summary. Now, in verse 25, he says that he was made a minister according to the stewardship from God. And you had mentioned that that term stewardship was important there.
Yeah. The Greek word for stewardship is oikonomia.
Yeah.
And it comes from the idea of a household.
Right.
So a steward would be one put in charge of a household that belonged to another.
Wow.
Stewardship would be what that was.
Sure.
You're responsible for this household.
Right.
Here's my household, my goods, my servants.
Right.
Whatever you're in charge of.
Yeah.
Jesus used parables about this.
Right.
Where someone has to give account for their stewardship.
Hmm.
And they had done evil, so they had to go try to fix things.
Right. Remember that in Luke? Yes, amen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, here, Paul has a stewardship from God. So the church, Paul considered something that he was responsible for.
Right.
For their well-being, that they be fed pure spiritual food.
Right.
That they be protected from wolves.
Wow.
That they be corrected when they go off into error.
Right.
The false ideas that were taking root would be refuted for what they are.
Yes.
And replaced with the truth.
Amen.
And these functions, wow, though there are no apostles since the death of the biblical ones,
right,
are still part of what church elders need to do today.
Yeah, amen.
Okay, so we need to care for the well-being of God's church.
Amen.
And that's exactly what Paul was doing. So he's a servant.
Wow.
We have our word for deacon there, wow, diakonos. And he has a stewardship, oikonomia, of God. And what was given to him was to complete the word of God.
Well, you know, Bob, that's a great image that you bring up with that. This idea of being in a stewardship position over someone else's house. I think about Jesus even in John 8. He talks about the son who's in the house. He's the one who's really free. And the idea of the son being over the house, and by you and I being joined to him, then we have entered into the house of God as well. Mm-hmm. And now we have, as you're pointing out, a responsibility to treat those in that house well, and to treat them according to the master's rules, which, as you pointed out, is to protect the flock from wolves and to feed them the word of God. In fact, Peter says that very thing in 1 Peter 5. He says, "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ," ironically, there's the thlipsis again, "as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you." And he says, "not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." And then he says, "and when the chief shepherd appears," now the chief shepherd, of course, is Christ, he says, "you will receive the unfading crown of glory." So there are admonishments right there, and I know there's some in Acts 20. Do you have that?
Well, I'm looking at Luke.
Oh, okay.
Because Luke-Acts is a two-volume
right,
work.
Right.
Yeah, Acts 20 is great. It's given to elders.
Right.
But before that even happens, when Jesus was teaching,
right,
he addresses the issue of stewardship.
Right.
I'm looking at Luke 12 and verse 41.
Okay.
I have the New American Standard here open.
All right.
And there was a parable about the return of Christ and the master comes and what are the slaves doing?
Right.
Okay. In verse 41, Peter said, "Lord, are you addressing this parable to us or to everyone else as well?"
Mm.
And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and sensible steward?" Mm. There's our idea.
Right.
"Whom the master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time.
Wow.
Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes.
Wow.
Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that slave says in his heart, 'My master will be a long time in coming,' begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, to eat, drink, and get drunk, the master of the slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers."
Wow.
Now, let's go to Acts 20.
Right.
Remembering that Luke Acts is a two-volume work.
Yeah, amen. Very good reminder.
So, how are we to proceed? What do we learn from this?
Right.
What is it to have a stewardship from God,
amen,
to complete the Word of God.
Right.
All right? Now, the idea is the Master has gone.
Yes.
He's in heaven at the right hand of God.
Right.
Okay? And there are people on earth in charge of the household.
Amen.
In this case, the church.
Yeah.
What are they doing? Who are they doing it for?
Right.
What are they thinking about? Mm. Is this our chance to live high on the hog, as we used to say down in Iowa?
Right, right.
To fleece the flock, to see how much we can get out of it.
Right.
I heard a story about a year ago. There was some church that, I don't know if they'd inherited the building and the property, but didn't have much as far as a congregation.
Yeah.
But there was money.
Yeah.
There was a big lawsuit because the pastor who was leaving wanted the church building and the Cadillac Escalade.
Oh.
So he's suing to get the church's goods.
Oh, my. How terrible.
And so somebody who heard about it was telling me that.
Oh.
And think about it. Here you have a pastor going to civil court to get a Cadillac Escalade.
Right, right, which Paul commands that we don't go to civil court with one another anyway to sue.
Right, but so why are you ever doing this?
Wow.
Is anybody thinking about these Christians?
Oh, that's terrible.
And their well-being?
Right.
And Christians always have the same needs.
Yeah.
And not the least of which is that they'd be, as the Lord's sheep,
yeah,
fed, pure, spiritual food.
Amen.
Okay?
Yeah.
And elders who are put in charge, right, of the flock are to feed the Lord's sheep.
Amen.
And they're never to look at the sheep as something that'll advance their own career.
Right, right.
To gain glory, power, money, a Cadillac Escalade.
Right, right.
Church properties.
Wow.
Okay?
Yeah.
What are we thinking about?
Right, right.
And do we have eternity in mind?
Yeah.
And do you think the Lord, when he returns, will be happy if he finds us having this big worldly party and not bothering to feed the sheep?
Right, great point.
Okay, so I commend that idea to you. Now let's look, as you said, in Acts 20, what were you looking at there?
I was thinking of that verse 28 where he says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. And I'll just stop right there. That's one of the issues we have to remember when we're caring for the flock is this is a bunch of people that were purchased by the blood of Christ.
Oh, yeah.
How precious is that?
Amen.
Then he goes on to say, he says, I know that after my departure, this is what you're referring to earlier, Bob. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you. So the trouble comes from within. He says, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away disciples after themselves. Wow. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night and day to admonish everyone with tears. So, wow. I mean, he really is concerned about the well-being of the flock.
And in his section, he talked about preaching the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
He said in verse 26, therefore I testify to you this day, I'm innocent of the blood of all men.
Right.
Because he preached the gospel to the lost.
Amen.
And fed the flock. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. So
wow,
if you take that idea, compare it to our verse, 125, in order to complete the Word of God. Go ahead.
Well, you know, Bob, you had mentioned feeding, and one thing you've talked a lot about over the years is what the sheep need is the pure Word of God taught. That's how we feed the flock. And I've often thought about that imagery of a farm. You know, my wife, her grandparents had a farm. And one thing you realize very shortly is you can never leave. You at least somebody has to be there to feed the
animals. Yeah, I grew up on a farm.
Yeah, you grew up on a farm.
We didn't get too many vacations because the chores had to be done.
Right, right. So somebody has to be there to feed
the neighbor might come over, but he's going to only do that for a few days because he really doesn't want to.
Right. So you know what's interesting about that is the feeding that we do is with the Word of God. That's our primary
thing. It's even more important.
Yeah, exactly.
See, when I became an a teenager and got a driver's license,
yeah,
I didn't really anymore care about going on vacation with all my little brothers.
Sure, sure.
We had a three-seated station wagon.
Yeah.
And I'd get so annoyed. I was 16. I don't want to be in here with my little brothers. Four little brothers.
Right.
I'm sure they were just normal little brothers. But
yeah,
I much preferred working.
Right.
So I told my dad, I'll take care of the farm.
Yeah.
I can get jobs doing the chores for whatever neighbors want to go on vacation.
Right.
I'll do our chores. Wow. I'll do the cultivating. I'll do the baling of hay.
Wow.
And I'll be very happy. Just don't make me go in that car with my little brothers.
Yeah, so you know what it's like.
And so then that's what I did. They could actually have a decent vacation.
Right.
For a couple of weeks.
Why, but they love that.
I was just as happy as they were. I'd be on that tractor all
sure,
day.
Sure, it was your vacation, yeah.
And I was getting money from doing chores for the neighbors.
Wow.
So I experienced that. But how much more important is it?
Amen.
To have a stewardship from God, Colossians 1:25,
wow.
In order to complete the Word of God. In other words,
wow.
To feed the Lord's flock.
Amen. Yeah.
And there's a passage in Peter where it says, as newborn babes in Christ desire the pure milk of the Word.
Right.
People mistakenly think that means just for brand new Christians.
Yeah.
But it's an analogy for all Christians.
Amen.
As newborn.
Right.
Doesn't mean
right.
You're all brand new Christians.
Right.
No. As a newborn. Just as much as a newborn needs milk to be nourished and to grow, all Christians need the pure Word of God to be fed and to grow.
Amen.
This is so obvious.
Right.
Eric, you would not believe how hard I've worked to try to get pastors to do this.
Oh, and that's sad. Yeah.
In the 80s, I hosted a pastor's meeting.
Right.
Before we started Critical Issues.
Yeah.
And I'd write articles and give them to pastors.
Right.
Pleading for this. And when I noticed it wasn't helping.
Yeah.
They still had agendas.
Right.
We started Critical Issues in April of 1992.
Right.
And I started just writing these things and putting out there for anybody.
Yeah.
And then I wrote two books and have gone and met with famous pastors.
Amen.
Trying to get them to see this.
Right.
Their eyes glaze over.
Right. Amen.
And I think the problem is church in America has become so sophisticated that being an elder or a pastor has become more like people management.
That's right, yeah.
So we brought in sociology, psychology, and we've become very sophisticated at running a big organization with massive budget, massive buildings, and lots of people. And in order to get that big, you have to attract people that really aren't the elect.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's right.
And they have different needs. I don't care what these church growth experts say.
Right.
The church, as defined biblically, the regenerate, always have different needs than their unregenerate counterparts.
Great point.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the whole church growth movement is based on the idea of erasing that boundary.
Right.
And making the church be there for the community, whoever they are.
Right.
And I debated these guys. They say, well, no, we have to do church for the unchurched. Mm-hmm. No.
Wow.
By definition, unchurched means you're not converted.
Right. Amen.
Okay, you can only enter the church through conversion.
Right.
Those who do need pure spiritual food.
Amen. Yeah.
That's what Paul is talking about.
Right.
You might say, well, you're just being alarmist. It's not like that. Oh, yes, it's like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think that these hundreds of people over the last 20 years who've emailed me, probably thousands now of people, who say that even in a big city, they can hardly ever find a church teaching the truth of the gospel and feeding the flock pure spiritual food. I don't think these people are all lying.
Right, right.
Okay? Because the pastors don't want to look at this biblically.
Yeah, okay? Right.
That the church only consists of the regenerate.
Yeah, amen.
It's the only way you can get in.
That's right.
Go back to the book of Acts and just see how it happened.
Exactly.
How they were added to the church. Okay, so all those who God adds are all people who need pure spiritual food, the unadulterated word of God.
Wow. Very good, Bob. So, you know, think about that just for the listener. If you're a teacher or a preacher, one of the things that this says to you is that your primary role and the exclusive role that you're called to is to be a person who's dedicated to preaching and teaching the word. Because if the flock doesn't have that, they're being neglected, they're being malnourished, and they're not being protected by the wolves.
They're starving, they will not flourish.
Exactly.
The wolves will get them.
Right, that's primary. I tell you, Bob, you're absolutely right. What I sense is when you have more unregenerate in a church, and I've seen this, what happens is the unregenerate demand help with problems here and now. What the regenerate demand is help with understanding that they have their sins forgiven.
They want to know.
And they grow in the Lord.
They want to know and remember what God's done for them.
Amen.
This is means of grace.
Yep.
Remember what God did in Christ. So we rehearse the truths of the gospel week after week.
Right.
And they want to believe and need to believe the promises of God.
Yeah. Amen. You know, Bob, the other, I think, reminder for those who are just Christians, and I don't mean it in a negative sense. What I mean is you're a congregant. You're not a teacher. You're not a pastor at your church. One thing that you can do is if you have a pastor or teacher who is teaching the Word of God, help them. That is, don't attack them for telling you what the text says. Be one who is willing to submit to the authority of Scripture. Because I tell you, Bob, we've gone through a church split not long ago, and the basic root of it was people didn't tolerate what the Scriptures were saying.
Well, they didn't want to hear about the promises of God.
Right.
They wanted how-to.
They wanted how-to, exactly like the unregenerate.
And, okay, but that's what's been the problem for most of the church is turning it into a how-to course.
Exactly.
There's a guy who comes on this news channel I watch. It's a conservative news channel.
Yeah.
There's a local pastor here who buys a minute of time every day on that channel.
Right.
It's called a winner's minute, or the winner's minute.
Right.
Okay. I've heard dozens of those.
Yeah.
Never Christ, never the gospel. It's a business seminar.
Wow.
How to overcome your fears.
How sad.
Make great plans.
Right.
How to get along with people.
Right.
All of this that applies to anybody in general, not particularly anything Christian.
Right.
I can't imagine what it costs to be on this nationwide channel.
Oh, it's nationwide. Wow.
Well, yeah, it's a network channel. It goes all over.
It's got to be big box, right?
Yeah, and never the gospel, always this winner. Be a winner.
Yeah, here and now.
Implying that if you're just ordinary, you're a loser.
Right.
Well, the gospel applies to all, including us losers who aren't rich.
Amen.
Who didn't overcome everybody else in the business world.
Right.
Who maybe have ordinary jobs. What would he say? I'm going to preach Sunday, Colossians 3, being in Colossians 4, about slaves.
Amen.
Who were serving. And Paul said it from the heart.
Yeah.
Serve as unto the Lord.
Right. Amen.
Okay. And that from the Lord you'll receive reward.
Right.
Well, how are you going to tell those people they're winners when by your definition they're losers?
Right, amen.
Why did they become slaves back then? Thankfully, we don't have slavery now.
Well
but
said.
They did in that world.
Yeah.
Usually because of war.
Yeah.
If one nation conquered another, they would enslave the people they conquered to make them serve.
Exactly.
Okay, so they lost.
Right.
This local pastor here is wanting us to be winners
in a
worldly sense.
Yeah. You know, Bob, well said. I have to review a book for a friend. There's a friend I knew as a flight instructor, and he's working for a church. In fact, the same church that put out that message I know you're talking about.
Okay.
And this book is a book on prayer. And in the book on prayer, he advocates that, remember in Matthew 5, where we're to be light on the hill?
Yeah.
He says in order to be a true light, you have to have an exciting life. And the idea is if you're not exciting, you don't drive race cars, you don't do this, you don't do that. That's exciting, like a football player. If you're not successful, well, then you're not a true light to the world. And again, that's seeing Christianity through the eyes of the world.
We all see pagans.
Exactly.
Look at Steve McQueen. When I was a kid, he was like the ultimate exciting person. Drove race cars.
Right.
Big star in movies.
Right.
Who could forget that car race in that one movie?
Bullet or whatever it was.
His Mustang, and people are still trying to rebuild Mustangs like that.
Yeah.
The same color and everything.
Yeah.
Well, he died of cancer. No hope in Christ.
Right, all gone.
We don't know anything that he ever served Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
So who do you want to be?
Right.
I remember back about the time this stuff happened.
Yeah.
Some pastor was telling me about this preacher he heard at a big conference. This is 35 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy is so great. He reminded me of Steve McQueen.
Oh, no.
Well, that guy, 2 years after that, fell into unrepentant sin, and we never saw or heard from him again.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You know, the world doesn't need pastors that look like the world.
Right. Amen.
Okay. Paul lays this out in Acts chapter 20 and here in Colossians 1, 24 and 25.
Right. That's right.
There needs to be a commitment to the gospel. There's a willingness to suffer.
Yeah.
There's a concern for the well-being of everyone. And that means people who, as far as this world's concerned, are not going to make us successful.
Exactly.
Caring for the crippled, for the hurting, for the poor, is not going to enhance our ministerial careers.
Right.
Okay? But God sees everything.
Yeah.
And what I love about the gospel is it's good news for everyone.
Amen.
Because it's for sinners.
Wow.
And it offers the forgiveness of sins.
Yeah, amen.
And it tells us that there will be a reversal in eternity.
Right.
That the least will be greatest.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And so we get all starry-eyed over some seemingly Christian celebrity.
Right.
Okay, so we want celebrities. I think that's why everybody's flocking to the Pope.
Sure, it's celebrity status.
Yes, because I saw on the news yesterday, here he's meeting with Fidel Castro.
Wow.
I wonder if he told Castro to repent and believe the gospel.
Right, probably not.
No, I don't think so.
Right, okay. How sad.
And it's sad to me
because
people are looking for that.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a humble pope. He cares about the people. Yeah, he's a socialist.
Right.
But do you think socialism is going to solve your problems?
No. It leads to more problems.
And it leads to more problems, and it creates more poverty.
Right, that's right.
Okay, no. The gospel tells us that if we work for the Lord in whatever situation we're in, that God blesses us, He'll take care of us, He sees that, and there'll be an eternal reward.
Amen.
And opportunities to spread the gospel. So back to go back over our verse in conclusion.
Yeah.
Let me read from the NET Bible.
Right.
I became a servant of the church. Okay, stop right there. As we're saying, he didn't say I became a lord over the church.
Right, a servant.
He became a servant of the church according to a stewardship from God, meaning he and all others in that role are going to give account to God about how he cared for them.
Amen.
Given to me for you, for what? For the church's well-being, in order to complete the word of God. And that word can mean fill up, okay? Fill up to fully preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and God's purposes are fulfilled, and those who hear and believe will be saved.
Amen.
And we've advocated for many, many years gospel preaching to the church.
Amen. That's the way it grows.
Because even as converted, we love to hear the gospel.
That's right. That's
how it tells us what God did for us.
Amen. That's right. You know, Bob, thanks so much for over the years. I know you didn't have a Bob DeWay to sit under, and we all have had one now for critical issues commentary. And so thank you for being a great role model to so many of us who want to be shepherds of the flock. And
well, I don't know about that, but I do know We all desperately need the pure word of God.
Amen.
And dear listeners, God has been so gracious in his providence to give us tools.
Yes.
To make it even more accessible.
That's right. It's beautiful. Beautiful time to be alive.
Yeah, and so the Logos Bible software has been so great for me.
It's been great, yeah.
Given me access to Greek that I'd studied 40 years ago.
Sure.
Bring it back alive. Avail yourself of these tools if you can, and God will bless you.
Well said. Well, I know we're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio, but we both want to remind you out there that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. Bob, I look forward to getting into the next verses with you next time.
Okay, we'll do that.
We want to remind all of you to stand firm in one spirit with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel.